in 2018.
And it's turned up.
Bob, start that again.
For once, it turned on time.
You want to say hello to
Dick Tumpus.
Yeah. Dick Tumpus. Right. Okay.
Now,
okay. Cool. Let's do that. Okay. Go ahead, Bob.
Well, Dick came and he's been picking up on the meeting.
Oh yeah.
Since you started.
Oh, awesome.
And he said, "I really enjoy that."
Has he been doing the video or the audio?
Was it audio?
No.
I think it's video.
Or video? If it's the video, then say it one more time because I just started that.
You did. Well, yeah. Maybe it was just the audio. I don't know.
No. I mean, I just started it this moment. I just hit the button that sends out the video.
Oh,
so
okay.
If that's what he's watching, now's the time to mention his name.
That's good. Okay. Well, Dick, we got here and there's no water. There's electricity. There's no telephone. No internet. There's nothing.
And they're picking up the trash.
They are picking up the trash.
Well,
I was told I was supposed to have trash pick up yesterday, and I got it this morning.
Great.
Yeah.
Oh. You got it. That's all that
counts.
I'm more important.
All the storm.
Right.
So there was tons of trash. They had to send out another truck.
I'm sure. Yeah. I mean, it would just around here, it's all of it at the same time, right? It's like getting hit by a hurricane and losing electricity and losing internet and losing trash pickup, and they hadn't delivered water to my house in a week before the storm, so we've been on a dry tank. It was just all of it, all at the same time. And now it's all come back together. Today is the last straw of goodness coming.
Hey, but there's really, we have a lot to be thankful for. We really do.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving is coming up, and my boat didn't sink because I sold it last year.
Oh, excellent. That's great.
Scott, when you start, give your web address.
I will. I mean, I guess we're getting started a little early this morning because we still got 10 minutes. Yeah.
Well, you can give David the web address now.
Sure. Yeah, it's sccclub.org. San Carlos Computer Club.org or SCC Club.
SCC Club?
Yep. .org. And from there you can find
I can't do
the podcast. You can watch us live from the. Hey, I put out a post every so often.
This is my meal. What?
That shows where to watch the video.
It wouldn't do me any good anyway.
I know.
Yeah. And we also have a Facebook page, a Facebook group. That's right. If you got an iPhone, you can find us in iTunes under the San Carlos Computer Club.
Yeah, use iPhone.
Yeah, the podcast app is what I'm thinking, the podcast. I forgot they separated it out into its own app. But yeah, the podcast app, you can search that for the San Carlos Computer Club, and you can get the audio version of this, which is much more valuable than the video because it weighs nothing in your phone and doesn't require your eyes to have the same experience.
Does this mean I'm not on camera?
Right now, nobody's on. I've got a please wait page going right now. That's not a camera. That's a microphone. So everybody's listening to your concern. Everybody out there in the internet world, all one and a half of them, so my statistics say. Half of viewers showed up.
There's 16 of us today.
Is there?
Yes.
That's a good number.
Good jump from last week.
Yeah.
Doubled anyway, or tripled.
Well, I think we had 10 last week.
Did we have 10?
Yeah.
We had a good show up the first day, too. Wasn't bad.
It was actually the biggest first meeting I think I've had in all the years we've done this.
Really?
It seems like the first meeting has always turned into just a coffee meeting with a couple of people still in town. And
well, thanks to somebody posting down there. There she is. I
what?
Found out about the first meeting. You posted for the first meeting.
Yeah, I did.
Thank you.
I didn't see it.
Well, thank you, Linda. I didn't even know you did that.
I did.
Yeah, otherwise I would have missed the first one.
When was the first one? Last week?
The second.
Scott was on Facebook. A friend of mine saying, okay, I'm in Seattle.
Did you have a good summer?
And then I'm in Phoenix.
That's almost okay.
And then I'm home.
Okay. I have two
ready
things.
To leave.
Yeah. Okay.
The first one is, remember we talked about the WLAN turn off on the Telmex router?
Yes.
I tried to do that and it wouldn't turn off. The light just stays, it just stays on.
Okay.
So I did try that.
Did you find a button, a physical button?
Yeah, it's got a light little... I have the old box, the little one.
Okay.
And it's got a button at the top, but it didn't turn off.
You know,
press the button.
Log into the router and do it that way.
You know that we had that
log
whole...
Log into the router?
We had that whole discussion last week.
Right.
And I'm just comfortable in telling you there's probably a physical button outside. And then I go off to a job, and I immediately run into a router that doesn't have a physical button on
it. Right. He says it's inside?
Well, you know, like any router configuration, you can just turn off the Wi-Fi. That's what you're doing, is you're deactivating the Wi-Fi. So you use the Telmex username and you use the password, the Wi-Fi password.
Well, I have that turned off. I only, you know, in your Wi-Fi setting on your computer.
I'm talking about in the router. So you go to it as a web page and administer it through a web page.
Okay.
You've done this before.
Yes, but I don't remember what it is.
Okay. So
what's
the
number of the Telmex router?
Most of them, I'm not going to say all of them, and if somebody's configured it like mine, it's going to have a different number. But most is 192.168.1.254.
Yeah.
Yeah, most all the routers that Telmex put out come default with 192.168. The 192.168.1 subdomain is reserved specifically for fictitious networks. And so every one of you in your houses, if you've got a modem from Telmex, more than likely is running that subdomain in your house. And then that, if you buy equipment like a Linksys or a Netgear, many times it's 1.1, and that used to be a standard. It's no longer a standard because there's security issues with that as well. So often you'll find old equipment 192.168.1.1. In the Mexican world, with Telmex being your provider, it's almost always 1.254.
So are you talking about the WAN? Is that what you're talking about?
Well, we're
WLAN.
We're talking about the ability to turn off the broadcast of Wi-Fi from the router that Telmex provides, because you're driving your own Wi-Fi network.
Okay.
Well, actually, what you missed was we were talking for 2 weeks about mesh networks.
Okay.
Okay, and when you set up the mesh network, then he says you turn the LAN off on the Telmex router. So you're only using the mesh network.
Well, and again, I mean, and I mentioned this before, Linda, you do this just as good housekeeping and for good security. At the very worst, running a Wi-Fi network against another Wi-Fi network, they can end up competing for the same radio space. So that's a good reason to turn it off, because you, having two Wi-Fis right next to each other, they're automatically trying to not get into each other's way. So they're both having to work harder at their jobs. And you don't need that other Wi-Fi, so turn it off. Now it's not competing with that Wi-Fi for that wireless space. It's also a security risk, because you have this arm out there that can be touched and grabbed and tried to connect to, that you're not using. It has no value to you, so turn it off. It's good housekeeping, it's good security, it's just good practice to turn it off.
So even with a router and a bridge, you can still turn that off?
Right, well, that's the recommendation, is turn that off so that it's not competing with the Wi-Fi that you're...
So is it taking space?
It is... think of it as like CBs talking over each other. It's you have to, these routers, what they're doing is they're looking at this space in the radio spectrum, and they're finding a channel that's clean to use. And so if you're using two Wi-Fis and you have no reason to be using a second Wi-Fi, the best recommendation is turn off the second Wi-Fi. because it's always prompting automatically to be looking for free space to run its network. And by turning it off, that problem goes away. The only competition you've got is your neighboring Wi-Fi that you don't have control over.
If you're hardwired to 9 gadgets and you want Wi-Fi for one of them, you still have to have it.
You still have to have Wi-Fi, yeah. You still have to
and
have Wi-Fi.
It doesn't interfere with anything if it's the only Wi-Fi you have.
Yeah, again, this is good practices. I mean, it's, if you're going to take a shower, it doesn't make sense to have the sink running water.
Right.
Right? I mean, it's just, I mean, the reason you do it is it's a security risk that you don't need because you don't need the extra Wi-Fi. And it has the potential of causing conflict with your current Wi-Fi, so you might be introducing problems to your network that aren't necessary because you could just turn it off. Those are my two big reasons for turning it off. And unfortunately, I'm sorry that the button doesn't work because it should work. It's too bad it doesn't work. Did you try unplugging it, plugging it back in, letting it reboot, and then try the button?
No, but I can do that.
Yeah, I would do that because they're dumb machines that have dumb software, and it gets glitched all the time.
I've got to hold my button and
finish it off.
You can't press
it. To turn off the Wi-Fi?
Yeah, you got to hold it down for a little bit.
You hear that?
Hold that button down?
Yeah, I have to.
He had to hold it down for a period of time before it would register that it was off.
Yeah. Just do that on my router.
You can feel it.
Like, yeah, I just hold it on the page.
Oh, okay, I'll try that.
Wait, would you say, James, would you say like you're holding it like 2 seconds?
At least a second.
At least a second. It's
okay.
Not a tap, though.
I just hold it until the light turns off.
Okay, there you go. Try that, yeah.
I'm interested.
Yeah, because there's a button on the outside. It should be that easy. In fact, one of my nemesis is I'm ready to just pry the button off because I don't want people to turn it back on.
Well, my Orbeez at the mailbox, so when it gets here, I'll turn it off to the show and tell.
Oh, excellent.
Okay.
Well, and you said you brought a show and tell, and we are finally at club start time, official club start time. Okay. So let me introduce us. This is the San Carlos Computer Club, and I'm Scott Stimson from International Computer Solutions, and I would like to be the person you call when you have issues with your computers. Give me a call. I'd be happy to find solutions to your problems. We are here. We've been in deep in discussion for like the last 10 minutes, and we were. I know Linda has actually brought us something that she wants to show off, and it's unfortunate I don't have you on camera anywhere, Linda.
Too bad.
That's too bad, so we're going to have to put your show and tell, like, in the table here in front of Robin so we can see it.
Yeah. This doesn't. This is the trans.
So I can see it from here, and this is the really cool device you were mentioning last week that can control your air conditioners.
Right. This is the cubby. And what it does is it pulls the infrared off of these three little buttons. The old one had a circle around it, apparently, but this is the newer version. So it takes the infrared off of these three buttons, and then when it's plugged in, these buttons will show green after you set it up with your phone. That's the best place to set it up, is with your phone, because then you're in the car and you want to turn it on, and you're 15, say, half an hour from home. You can go into your cubby on the phone and turn it on.
Okay, can I hit a couple of... Because I went out and researched this when Linda was talking about this. I think this is an awesome gadget that many of us could take advantage of. This is essentially like your infrared remote control, except it's connected to your Wi-Fi network, so you can use your phone to access it.
Correct. You use your phone and you set it up with the computer. Well, you download the Cubby app and then you set it up. You can set up times for it to go on, times for it to go off. The only negative I found, well, a couple negatives. One is I have two air conditioners in the living room and it's picking them both up because obviously they've got the same
frequency.
Is it line of sight?
Kind of like, you know how your garage door can open if someone drives by?
Well, infrared, that makes perfect sense because infrared is just broadcasting. And so both because of line of sight to both machines would cause them both to behave.
Right. So we were thinking about last week when we talked about it, and I haven't tried it, putting up a piece of cardboard so that it would block maybe the infrared from the other air conditioner because they both go on. So I have it set up to go on at 7 o'clock in the morning and off at 11. And it goes on and on. Now, the only other negative I found is the remote controls on the Mirage have a lot of fan speeds. And this only has low, medium, and high. So, and their high isn't really high.
Well,
so you don't have automatic.
Oh, is automatic one of the options? I would have suspected it is.
On the fan speed?
Yeah.
On this thing.
Well, basically, really you're asking for the automatic setting from your phone, is what you're asking.
Yes, it has only low, medium, high. Oh. And then you go in there, and it has like a thing for the temperature. And you can move the temperature. It shows the humidity in the house. Mm-hmm. So if your humidity is high, you can turn it on the humidity dehumidifier on your air conditioner.
So I'm sure you can trigger those events as well if you're
in the car.
Yeah.
Everything you can control off your telephone.
But it can send it a program schedule so that it's bringing up the air conditioner at certain times and shutting it off at certain times.
And once you set it up, you're supposed to use the phone to turn it on and off. Don't use the remote anymore.
So do you have to have one of these for every unit? Like if you had one in your bedroom and one...
That's the way it looks, and that's the reason
that... about $70. But Mirage has one, because I know somebody who went up to the Mirage place in Hermosillo and he bought one. They're basically the same price, $70. But the one on the Mirage one, especially if you have the...
What I like is the ability to...
And the timer is up in, fits up into the door. There's a little space for it to fit up in the door.
Inside the unit.
Yeah. So if as long as it has the remote control, you can use it.
As long as the Mirage supports remote...
Right.
An infrared remote control.
Right.
Yeah, this... I think what I really like about this is being able to geolocate so that when you're approaching your home, you could tell it you're 10 minutes away from your home and have it turn on the air conditioner as you're approaching.
Yeah, like we were gone. Mm-hmm. And you know that last gas station, not before the where the turnpike and everything is, but the gas station about 15 miles up.
Okay.
We were up by the gas, and we turned it on right there.
Yeah. And so when you get in the house, it's already cool.
How do you know it turned on? Because that was cool, right?
That's faith.
Well, it was on when she got there.
It was on when we got home.
Okay. So, yeah. It was
but
cool, right?
This is a this is a great idea. It's not a bad price when you think about Internet of Things. It's passive. It's not active. So if this falls apart, your air conditioner doesn't stop being the air conditioner it is. This is really... I think this is an example of a really well-thought-out Internet of Things device.
But you know what was really good, especially if you don't live here for 6 months, and some people have air conditioning problems in the summer, I mean a lot of moisture in their house.
Sure.
You can set these up to go on.
At certain temperature intervals, at certain humidity intervals.
Right.
Yeah.
The humidity.
Because you know, like, we lived in Florida 20 years. We never could go without the air conditioner except for maybe 2 weeks in December. You had to have the air on all the time.
The humidity.
Well, and as hot as it gets here, it's crazy. You could set a max temperature for your area.
Well, what you do is
you have a pantry that you don't want to have stale or mildew. You could set a max temperature at like 87 degrees, and it would all summer long keep it that.
Tells you everything, and then you could change everything.
So when you push go, you're...
It has on and off on the... Right on your phone, on the little program.
Did you answer, does it have an alert on it?
What do you mean an alert?
Like, the temperature in your house is getting to be 100 degrees. I'm turning on now.
Well, there is all kinds of things you can put in there.
Uh-huh.
There's all...
From
once you go in, and unfortunately, I left my phone at home.
From what I was looking at, it looked like you could program a schedule.
Yes.
It looked like you could program a like a max temperature to turn itself on. Mm-hmm. It looked to me like you could choose different modes of the. And in real time, use it as your controller. Yeah. And Linda, you keep saying that they encourage you to just use the phone, but in everything I was reading and what the product, if the way I wrap my head around it, it seems like there is a way to be able to use the regular remote and your phone. You just have to be very self-conscious
of this. There isn't a remote.
No, that your normal. Infrared remote.
The air conditioner?
Yeah.
It tells you not to use it.
Yeah, but I can't find a reason why.
And what's this called?
Because they don't want you to control the on and off. They want you to control the on and off on your phones.
Once you change the setting, the phone.
You see?
Yeah, no, I mean, I understand what you're saying, but I can't see how they can. I mean, I don't. It looked to me like as long as you had good habits, you could take advantage of both. Well, and what they're doing is they're. They're saying to avoid all possibilities of confusion, don't use the other remote. But I've got a feeling that you could use the remote as well as this device.
Yeah, you lost your phone.
Sure. Yeah,
well, screw. Yeah, I also have it on my tablet.
Yeah. Yeah, right. But I mean, honestly, I don't think that's a selling point to any of us that you could put it on another phone. I think it's important that we're able to use the regular remote control as well as the device.
Well, you can't, because like I always have to go turn off the other air conditioner when we don't need them both.
The only reason I say that is because what I love about this product is it's not complicated. And when you tell somebody, oh, you could just put it on another tablet, it's like, well, you're adding much more complication to what you're trying to do. Whereas this product, really, it can sit on your coffee table like a remote. It's plugged in for power, but it controls your air conditioner. Immediately, your air conditioner is online, so you can you can schedule it. You can have extremes to turn it on and turn it off.
Mm-hmm.
You can geolocate it so that if you're on your way home, it turns on automatically. I mean, those are all really cool features.
So what's it really called other than just a Cubby?
That's it.
It's Cubby.
Cubby what?
Is it with a K?
No, C-U-B-Y.
Oh, C-U-B-Y.
Like a Cubby.
Okay, like a Cubby.
There's two ways of turning things on and off. One is infrared.
And right.
And it's got to be line of sight then.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So if that thing is turned over,
it won't work. That's right.
Okay.
Right.
The other way is what?
Radio.
Radio.
Yeah, radio.
Okay. Radio. And a lot of things are going radio these days.
Sure. And actually what Linda was describing, I'm imagining if they were controlling a number of units with the same box, then they were converting them to radio. Otherwise, you'd have to have a bunch of these at different frequencies. Or like we described with the cardboard, it would have to only be seen in each room. They couldn't be on the same. If you wanted to have individual controls of different
sheet of cardboard, would do it.
in Linda's case, it would.
Yeah.
Because it would block the view of the other one.
Right. It's like a light beam.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Right. You can you can set up
multiple devices.
Multiple devices on your phone.
But I looked at that, and what that is referring to is buying multiple versions of these.
Multiple. There are glitches.
Sure.
Now, I would recommend if you're going to buy it and you don't speak Spanish, although you can get the instructions in English.
You can buy them at Home Depot in the States.
You can buy it. But she got this at Home Depot here.
I got it this Home Depot.
In Wyoming. At right around the same price. I looked at the pricing.
$69.
Yeah. But if you buy it down here, all the instructions and everything in the book are Spanish.
Oh, of course.
Although I went online and got it in English, but if you bought it up in the States, it would be English. Kind of like getting computers here and there.
But you have to have internet.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, darn!
I just really like it. I think it hits all the right spots for an Internet of Things product. I think it satisfies a need that we can all relate to. It's a price point that we can all afford. It's a level of difficulty that's achievable. It's not that complicated of a device.
No.
It
does have a few glitches.
Well, it's infrared too, so it's not accurate. So you have to work on making sure that you leave it in a place where it's always 100% hitting that. And I know just from the remote experience, there are patchy places in my living room where the infrared doesn't work as well.
Yeah.
And so you'd have to scout that out because it would have to be 100% accurate. But it's very cool. What I wasn't able to determine, does it have some way of knowing the temperature? Does it have a temperature gauge in it?
Yes. So you can move it up and down with your finger. So that means, like, when you're on your phone and your phone's sensitive, I've done it a couple times.
Yeah.
I hit it, and then all of a sudden it drops down to 17 degrees or something.
See, something like that. Because I know the Mirage, the unit itself has a temperature sensor, and so I couldn't tell whether you're telling it go to, like, 25 Celsius or if the device was able to interpret 25 Celsius and see that it hadn't reached that yet.
But you can hear the fan going up and down.
Oh, sure, yeah.
So it does have the control that the fan the unit is turning on and off. You can hear it. You know, like when it cycles?
Mm-hmm.
So, and you can hear the fan go down, like when it doesn't need to be on full blast.
I'm just thinking in terms of the smarts capabilities of it. I mean, if it has its own sensors, if it has
those notes that you can tell it to do all kinds of stuff.
If it has its own sensors, then it's almost like a person in there using the remote control. They're going, oh, this feels too humid. I want to turn on the humidifier or the dehumidifier.
Uh-huh. It's got on the side, it's got the fan speed, it's got the modes, just like the remote control.
Right. I guess what I'm saying is that if it's got sensors, then it's feeding you back information to make decisions on. Whereas if it doesn't have sensors, then it's just interpreting the way you'd prefer to have the house.
Maybe I'm not...
I couldn't find anything on it whether it was actually feeding. I mean, everything that we've talked about is what I read, but I couldn't get a sense of just how smart the device was.
It has the same features as the original remote control.
Right.
The same features.
So mm-hmm. But it
has to have a sensor.
No, it doesn't. The device.
It works off of that sensor.
The device has a sensor. Yes. So the remote doesn't. The remote. I mean, I know it's kind of. This is a nuance of these, but mm-hmm. this makes sense for understanding how smart it is.
Right.
The sensor's in the air conditioner, it's not in the remote control. So you use the remote control to say go up to a certain temperature, and the device decides whether it's reached that temperature or not. Not the remote control.
I think that's why they don't want you using the remote control once you switch over to using this.
Right.
That's your display on your
phone. That's what it sounds like.
So that interpretation would mean that it does have sensors in the device because it's arbitrarily deciding, making these decisions. It's not letting the device make its own decisions.
If you don't turn it on,
so it says it's voice control as well.
It may not have a connection.
It says voice control.
Program in there.
If you have Amazon Echo or Google Home.
I don't have.
Hey, I want that. I would buy it just for that. My ceiling fan drives me crazy. The remote is dying on it, and I want one of these devices that I'm ready to build one. I've downloaded the blueprints. I'm going to...
control your ceiling fans.
It says only mini split.
Put infrared right in front of the pickup, too. So
I want to be able to tell Alexa to turn on the ceiling fan. That's all I want, is just turn on the fan. Who turned it off? It's supposed to be on all the time.
It's ridiculous.
In fact, I don't even want to tell it. I want Alexa to go, who turned this off, and just turn it back on.
I can't stand
it. Nudge your wife, they turn the air conditioner on.
It's not that big.
Tell on your kids when they...
But I have sons into tech stuff. My husband was into tech stuff. Yeah. Not that he knew anything about it, but...
Well, thank you for bringing this, Linda. I need to go buy one of these. I think it's very cool.
It's like the ceiling fans.
They
had
a display, and then you had
you can't
to go
just,
up to the desk to get it.
To get it? Okay.
Okay. Yeah, because the box is only about...
I'll give it to you.
It's a square little box, so it isn't like... people will have.
You can share your cubbies with others.
Smart TV.
What does that mean?
You cannot turn it.
There's a social network associated with
it. Granting them limited control of the AC.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, well, I mean, at the very least, you can, like my wife's phone and my phone.
You can both do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you can put as many programs on. Like I said, I have it on my phone, but I also have it on the tablet. Kind of like your TV, you know, you can put it on your phone or your tablet.
Well, in this case, they've got something where you can share it with other people. Maybe you could have your own personal settings when you walk in the room.
Have you ever lost your phone?
Not in years.
Really?
Yeah.
To the ocean.
Well, you know, actually, I lose it almost every day. It's under a couch pillow or it's...
Right. So what do? Call it?
I just grab my tablet and search for it.
Okay, but then what if it's out of juice?
I'm sorry, Bob. I'm at that age where, like, I know my phone's gone within moments. It's never out of juice when it's lost. Well, and, you know, you weren't here before, but I have just been raving about the new Apple Watch. And one of the features that it brings to you is the ability to press it, and it finds the phone for you.
Is that the Dick Tracy watch?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, where you can do calls right across it now.
Then how much does that little feature cost you?
$4.99 is the one I want.
Well, why don't you get three of them?
Yeah, I just want one.
It's a deal.
Just one. No, I think I could sell you on this Apple Watch now if I was selling Apple Watches. I think they finally put together this package and they've hit all the right points as well as the price point. And for me, it's a real easy sell because they've incorporated EKG in it and real-time heart monitoring. And because there's heart issues in my family, this is the kind of device that I've been hoping will come out. But they also included fall detection, where you can configure an amount of time to wait before responding to your watch. Your watch is there saying, you fell, are you okay? And if you haven't answered within a specific period of time, it'll start shooting messages off to your loved ones, your emergency contact
She's
numbers.
Dead.
No. Somebody needs to check on her, right?
All the greedy little people to watch your money. Yeah. Right?
Well, no, you.
Get them down.
Yeah. I don't think you would set that up as the emergency contact.
Yeah.
I agree with you, though. That's why I'm not an organ donor. I want them to concentrate on me. Right? I am the priority in that accident. I don't want people looking at my spleen going, hey, that's pretty healthy there.
Well, let's let him go.
Wait till you get an ambulance bill.
Yeah.
Yeah, then you'll throw that watch away.
I don't want any watch telling me I'm going to have a heart attack in 30 seconds.
I know.
Sit down.
And the other thing they've done is they've taken the exact same form factor. That this is the fourth generation of this watch, so it is well saturated in the market. They've got all these accessories, this whole line of watch bands and garbage like that that goes, and chargers and stuff like that. It's all compatible with this new watch. The new watch is slightly thinner, just a hair thinner, the exact same footprint, but now has 30 to 32% more screen because they've got the screen wrapping around it. So it's easier to see, they can get more controls on it, and you can make phone calls, and it's cheaper than a phone.
You're dropping hints at home, aren't you?
She's already ready for it. Now, here's the thing that makes me crazy. This is the watch I want. It's also IP68 waterproof. It can be down 3 meters for 30 minutes.
You're really trying to justify this, aren't you?
You want us to pass the hat? Just say so.
No. What I'm saying is, up until recently, this has been an interesting product. But at this price point and these features, this makes a lot of sense. And it makes a lot of sense for an active community, and it makes a lot of sense for an elderly community. It makes a lot of sense.
Just tell cell support.
That's what we're waiting to see.
Yeah. Good question.
I have a first gen, and it's just too small. And you can't use it as a phone unless your phone is close.
Right. And that's the difference here is that you can, like if you're an active lifestyle, you can leave the car in your purse, and you can go to the gym, and you can just carry your watch around with you.
Well, if the Cell Cell supports it, I mean, it's does it have a place for SIM card? Or I mean, how does that work?
Yeah, well, AT&T and T-Mobile right now are just starting plans that allow you to use your watch and your phone in conjunction. And that's what we're waiting to see from Telcel and AT&T down here. Is it, because what you want the same...
I asked them, not only after the last meeting, I asked Telcel. At this point, they don't.
Yeah.
I was down in the office, and I got one of the English speaking engineers, and they say at this point, they don't.
Yeah. Irvin, I'm sorry. I'm trying to hear what you're saying, but I'm listening to Dave. Oh. Because one of the points that he made is that he has hearing aids
that are Bluetooth into everything.
And the first generation watches are quieter. They've increased the sound of this like it's a proper speakerphone. So you can carry on conversations, and they talked to people that tested it, and they carried on conversations while they were doing this, and you know, just it was. And then then you've always got the Bluetooth option. You said you have hearing aids.
I have hearing aids, so the Bluetooth with anything, but I have an Apple phone.
Yeah, or you could get the ear pods, and the ear pods do the same thing, and they do the noise reduction, and they do a fairly decent job, from what I've heard, is recognizing ambient noise, so it can decide what kind of noise you need to hear and what you don't. So, I mean, their goal is for you to have something plugged into your ear all the time, something on your wrist all the time. This device has podcasts and music on it, so you can just carry that one device with you for that stuff. Yeah. I'm sorry, Irving. Now, go ahead.
No, just to repeat, after the last meeting 2 weeks ago, I was at Telcel, and I asked them if they support it, and they don't at that time.
Right.
So it would be of no use to any of us that lived here.
Well, unless you were ready to buy another. Maybe it's the...
Tell his wife.
Maybe it turns into like the second phone. Maybe you got a U.S. plan and a Mexican plan, and you just put your prepaid Mexican chip in your phone. I mean, maybe it's something in your watch. Maybe it's something like that.
You can really,
yeah.
You could put a chip in your watch.
Well, in the Galaxies, you can put a chip in your watch.
You think?
In the Apple Watch, I don't know if they are using the eSIM or the chip. I didn't pay any attention to that. But you know, one of the things that they've done recently, the latest iPhones, they've made them dual SIM, right. And they do that by having an eChip and a SIM slot. So they've got an eSIM, which is programmed by your carrier, and then they've got a SIM slot where you can just stick in another service.
So they only have one model of the phone?
Sorry. Well, in a truth be told, they only have one model for you. They have two models because there's a version of everything they have here. They have a version in China, but they can't use the eSIM in China, and so they've got actual dual SIM slots in the Chinese version. Okay.
GSM.
Right. The Verizon phones. Yeah.
How long were you down there?
So since we've gone to LTE technology, that hasn't been an issue. It really still comes down to what radios that you're contracted to run across. Yeah, but the technology, I mean, they've got so many radios inside one piece of silicon now that they're pretty compatible.
What's the eSIM? Yeah.
The eSIM. The eSIM is, you know when Telcel gives you a chip to put in your phone? Well, an eSIM is just a chip that's embedded in your phone, and you reprogram it with your encryption code. And so your carrier helps you do that when you get service from them.
So you slip it in?
No. Yeah, and that was Apple's point, because they wanted to sell a completely... This is back before we had any waterproof phones. They wanted to sell a completely sealed phone, battery and all, so that it's just a phone, and they didn't want you fumbling around with cards that needed. They wanted the experience to be sealed, waterproofed, and so they fought to have in the industry to have this eSIM introduced.
And what is the planned obsolescence?
As well, always with Apple, always.
Yeah.
I bought an iPhone 10, and they came out with a 10 something the next week.
All they have to do is find a way to break that encryption, and then those eSIMs are unreplaceable. But yeah, the beauty is that we've got encryption right now. Doing encryption is very easy to do. You can do it on very rudimentary equipment. Breaking encryption requires ridiculous amounts of power and ridiculous amounts of equipment. And so it's very easy to do well, and it's very difficult to undo. So they can make something like an eSIM and have a pretty good idea of how many years before they have to worry about it ever being a problem that it's embedded in your phone instead of replaceable.
And this is rechargeable, is what?
Well, this is...
With this built-in battery that never dies?
This eSIM idea has been around for a while now.
Okay.
And so it has nothing really to do with the power.
I'm talking about the watch.
Oh, the watch. You have to recharge it like you recharge your phone. And a popular way to do it is with, like, stands. So at the end of the day, you put it on a stand. And I've heard some people say that it's the sleep stuff that matters to them the most. And so the problem with that is this watch reasonably has to be recharged like a cell phone. And so you don't find yourself sleeping with it very often. Even though they've got the sleep stuff in there, you don't really get to take advantage of it unless you take it off for a long period of time. I've heard other journalists. To me, they've cut all the rough edges off of this product. They've really well defined it, and they've made it a decent product. To me, this is the first one I've really been interested in owning, and the price point is amazing. I think $499 for all that is a great price. If you don't care about cell phone calls, it's $399. So that's just, when you get into these fitness trackers and all this stuff, less than half those features for half the price. Right? So I can't carry my music around in a Fitbit. So I still got to carry my phone around. So my phone ends up doing a lot of this stuff. It still drains the battery. I got to put it in a pocket and have it jiggle around, or put it on an armband. All that stuff I'm trying to get away from. I would pay twice the price. Thank you. I would pay half the price of a Fitbit. I'm just... I'm sorry if I can make a case for this device, but I can. I can make a case for Linda's device. I can make a case for the Apple Watch 4. The amazing thing that Apple has done is a lot of the features I've described, they are backwards compatible with all the watches. So Dave's watch is going to get a lot of that stuff. I don't know if the fall detection's on it. The heart rate, the real-time heart rate monitoring he's going to get. And so, that's... Like, well, maybe I ought to buy an older watch. I mean, you can make all those decisions. But what that is it's established in the marketplace that this product's not going away. The watch face, I think that's one of the newest things. Because of the size, you get this watch face where you can put the things that matter to you on the watch face.
Is there an output on it, too, like an HDMI connection or something you'd want to transfer the audio or the video onto another source?
That's interesting. You can do Bluetooth for audio. I mean, I'm sure they do. They must have something. Maybe AirPlay. Probably AirPlay. I can't answer it definitively, but we've watched them demo the watch on a big screen. They had to have a way to do that. That had to be one of the things that's possible. Maybe there's an app you can buy that allows you to decide. I don't know if that matters, though, in the end. That's not really the way the product is intended to be used.
Apple 4. Well, you could record something on it.
What's the name of it,
on your television?
Apple Watch.
Apple Watch
Series 4.
Do they have... Two questions. Do they have, first of all, waterproof phones?
Yes. IP67. Oh, and we should... If we're talking about the Apple Watch, you have to talk about the iPhone, because what has become very apparent, though I love this watch, the reason I'm not taking donations is because I can't figure out how to own the watch with an Android device.
Well, if you wait a year, there will be an Android device.
It tells me that...
Switch to an Apple.
Calm down.
Well, what it tells me is they can get away with the higher iPhone price and the lower iPhone watch price, right, because combined makes an interesting package that people are willing to pay.
They had that one demo where they showed where
$399. That's without cell phone.
Phone was laying there.
Without cell phone.
It can't. The $399 can only make calls if you have your cell phone with you.
Oh, well, that's
so. That's the real question: is how far you need to be from your phone.
AT&T has a Mexico plan.
Yeah.
At this time, do you know?
Right. Well, no, that's for $399. You have to be within Bluetooth, so that's like 30 feet.
No, but how about the
but for $499, you can take it on the road, and that's your phone.
Oh, or for $699,
without having
you don't need a phone. You don't need a phone. And I envision a future where you got a watch that's doing these features. You've got a mini tablet that's a display that you can just grab whenever you need it, and then you've got your computer back home.
Okay,
whatever.
Because
Bluetooth headphones with you.
The ad I saw an ad for it, and they have the watch here and the phone laying right there.
Well, that's because you can get it with or without cellular.
That's why I said something to Irving about it. Remember? Because. Mm-hmm. I saw...
Since Series 3, they've had an option to run cell service.
Okay.
And the screen is just...
But Irving went down to Telmex. We stopped in Telmex.
And they didn't have a plan for it yet.
Right.
Yeah, and that's how most...
AT&T.
The Series 3 was the first... Is it a year old? I think it's a year old. It might be a year and a half old. It was the first series that they released that could be a cell phone. And none of the cell carriers made any plans for it. And so if you wanted it, it was kind of like hobbyist. It was kind of like I'm paying for another chip, or I've got a chip that's a prepay plan that I use for my watch. That's what people were doing. This time, this watch has been released, and immediately AT&T and T-Mobile have said, we are about to release plans. When we release this new phone and this new watch, we're going to be releasing new plans to use them in conjunction.
Oh, okay, so getting back to what you said, even if it isn't supported in Mexico, could you operate it with your United States plan here?
From what I understand, you should be able to, because it's an LTE. It's an LTE chip that's in the watch. So if your AT&T phone's working down here, you'd expect your AT&T Apple Watch to work. That's right. It would just be an American phone in Mexico. That's the way I would understand it.
How do you get a dial on the watch?
You tell it.
Oh, you just talk
to it. Yeah. Me. You say, call my wife or call Ray. Yeah.
Linda.
Or FaceTime. Mm-hmm.
Can you call Agent 86?
Need your shoe for that.
If you've got it in your shoe, not your watch. You got to use your smart shoe to call that. Hey, that's really interesting degrees of separation. You have to use your smart shoe for it.
Yeah,
get smart,
okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Long before we had any smart
get
devices,
smart.
Right? Use your smart shoe.
It would go with my jewelry if I got the silver
question.
One.
I don't know if we've discussed this before.
Okay.
Once your phone gets low on memory and it isn't operating correctly, if you were to set it back up like it was a brand new phone, would you still not have any memory left?
If you were to format it, and is that what you're
format
saying?
Format it like it was brand new.
Yeah, like factory defaults.
Would you get your memory back, or no? Once the memory in the phone is used up, it's used up.
Well, you're talking about your storage space.
Yes. Like, yeah. I have enough gigabytes.
You don't have enough RAM. You're talking about the active
RAM.
So your RAM being used up is dependent on the applications you have installed for use. So when you format it with a factory reset, you're going to be left with only because you are starting the phone without any of the extras you've added to it. And then you'll go to the Google Play Store and you'll start downloading those apps that matter to you.
Right.
And undoubtedly, if you're dealing with a RAM problem, it's probably because you're using apps that require a lot of RAM.
Yep.
And you're going to eventually hit the one that pushes it over the edge. And then you're back to the same performance you had before.
See, I'm down to like 656 megabytes, but the phone is acting erratically now.
That sounds like a lot of RAM.
It sounds like a lot of RAM?
That sounds like a lot of RAM. I mean, just free RAM? That's what you're talking about? Free RAM?
Yeah, because the phone keeps restarting.
Like, I'd be concerned about the RAM if it was down at like 240 megabytes. 600, it seems like a real clean operating environment. Because you got to think that a lot of old low-end phones were 1 gig phones.
RAM. I figured it was the RAM, that it wasn't enough running it.
You know, one tip that we've probably never spent any time talking about is that if you have an SD card in an Android device,
yes,
typically that's formatted as a FAT file system, like a floppy disk. Okay. For your computer, and that file system can suffer from corruption because of the nature of that. And if you're having random problems with your Android device, it could be that there's a problem with the file system on that SD card. And if you shut down the phone, pull out the card, get an adapter or whatever you need to plug it into a computer, and run ScanDisk on it.
I took all my pictures off.
Okay, but do the disk repair. That's what I'm talking about.
Do a disk repair.
Do Windows scan disk to fix the disk. Okay. And do it, and regardless of whether when you put it in it says it needs it or not, because what it does is it exercises the whole card. And so it goes and it looks at all those spots on the card looking for problems. And it will resolve them. File structure error problems, and that may resolve your problem with your Android phone.
Well, I've gone into the BIOS now like 3 or 4 times and cleared the cache in the BIOS. Not clearing the cache in the phone. You know, I turned it off, went back, did all the buttons, and then brought up the BIOS.
And everything you're describing, I mean, that's all good stuff, and but that all happens on the storage inside the phone.
Right, so maybe it is the card.
And it could very well be the card, and the reason that I would do the card first is because it's not a hard thing to do. In fact, if you pull the card out, you're not going to have access to anything that's on the card. But if you're having rebooting issues and odd issues like slowdowns, you may find that immediately that problem's gone if you turn on your phone and it's the card's problem, if you follow what I mean. So what happens in the operating system is it's always going to its storage for different reasons. You bring up an app and it needs to look for files. Well, it needs to go to both the internal storage and this external storage.
Not the SIM card.
No?
This is the SD card.
Like
the camera card.
Well, like I said, I took it off because I have a little mm-hmm. that you stick the card in.
Sure, an adapter.
I took the pictures off my phone.
Sure.
Because I thought, I'm having problems here. Let me get the pictures off. I mean, all the other programs on your phone, if you lose them, you just
reinstall
them.
Why don't you just run it without the SD card?
Well, I'll give you a good reason why you wouldn't do it. Right. Because being the Androids versus iPhone, you don't deal with it with iPhone. But you can have your applications installed in that
SD card.
Okay. So you pull it out, and all of a sudden you've got things that aren't looking correctly, your settings aren't correct, your defaults go back.
Yeah.
And so it may not be, it may create a situation that you're not prepared to deal with. And so you don't want to lightly just run it without. But Linda has lots of experience with these things and these Android devices. She's troubleshooting a problem. She needs to figure out where the problem is.
But if you pulled the SD card out and ran for a while with no SD card, you would know it's the SD card.
What am I looking at here?
It's an Android app for ScanDisk for your Android.
ScanDisk memory zone. Does that do a repair like...
I don't know. No, I just plugged it in.
Because that's really what we need is we need an app that we're confident can check that card to make sure the card's okay. And you can do that on a Windows computer, and you can do it on a Macintosh computer, a full-blown desktop operating system. There are phones that check the SD card because they've got their own app for checking the SD card.
That's a big problem with the phones.
Can we deal with a simple subject?
Sure. Linda, everything that you've talked about, those are all good things to try and solve this problem. If you're still having the problem after all this, though, still scanning the hard drive, the SD card for errors is another one on that list.
Put it in my computer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what is he talking about? I couldn't hear him over there, Ed.
Oh, Ed was just showing off an app he found that he thought might be... I'm not going to recommend anything we just found in an app store, okay? It's just not going to happen.
Can you do... You can't... They don't have like a Windows scan disk for Android?
Well, that's what we're talking about. Is we need to find one that we're comfortable with. That has proven itself, and I've never looked for one, so I don't have one to recommend.
I mean, I have programs to, you know, I have a program to put the stuff on the SD card. That's why when I was explaining to her,
mm-hmm.
Every time an app updates, you have to re-put it.
You have to install
the car again.
Oh, you're having to physically move
always.
It.
Always.
So you don't have an option to specify it as a default storage device?
It doesn't do it.
It doesn't stay there. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a 5.
Galaxy 5.
Yeah.
And even though after they put 7, it's got 6.0 in it now.
Yeah.
They didn't up it any further than 6.0.
It's an AT&T.
It was supposed to, huh?
It's an AT&T?
It's an AT&T phone?
I'm asking you if you got the...
No, it's a Galaxy 5.
Samsung.
But it's no. What was it, the AT&T version?
No. It was I bought it on eBay. It's got dual SIM in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to run the dual SIM all the time because you can run dual SIM when I had an AT&T account, which I don't have anymore because we really don't need it now.
Nah.
We really don't need it now that Telmex has the agreement
with 2.1 review.
T-Mobile.
87
right.
Reviews. Got no.
No, it's got, less than half. I mean, like it failed the review section.
Which one is that?
You want us to recommend things that people aren't recommending?
No.
The
SD card repair on an Android device.
So yeah.
2.1.
What is it?
Not good. Yeah. Don't write it down.
Let's move on. Let's move on. Okay. All we've got are bad advice. We don't have good advice at the moment. Everything you said, Linda, was good advice. All those things you should be considering when you're having problems with your phone, and if you've got the skills to do it, you'll find the problem. Formatting your phone is dramatic, but it typically shakes out the problem. I would scan this. I know from my own personal experience, my girls, everybody's got an Android device. Whenever one starts acting wonky, the first thing I do is I shut it down, pull out the SD card, scan it in Windows, say error check it in Windows. It undoubtedly finds some issue with the card, whether it's the issue with the phone or not. Because of just the longevity of time it's been in there, it's had a file corruption issue. Fixes that, stick it back in. 9 times out of 10, the problem's gone away, and I can go back to work, and my daughter stops bugging me.
When you go to the Windows scan disk, you can specify you're only scanning the card and not scanning the phone?
Yeah.
I mean,
Well, actually, I think the only way you get to it now is by clicking with the right mouse button on the card, choosing tools or choosing properties, and going to tools and choosing error scan.
On the card?
Yeah, you see the card in the Explorer. You right mouse click on it. I mean, there may be other ways to do it. Anybody have another way to do this? This is the way I've always done it. You right click on it, go to properties. That brings up the properties page. And then there's tools, and you click on tools. At the top of the tools, there's error check.
I'll let you know.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if it alleviates your problem.
Maybe it is that.
It could be. It could very well be.
Because I'm avoiding trying to buy a new phone, and Bill keeps pushing me to buy this Poco One phone. And I keep saying I don't want to spend the money.
On a new phone?
Yeah, because now I just bought the Orbi.
Well, I want this watch, but I can't afford the iPhone to go with it. So that's not happening. Gee, thank you. I appreciate that. Thanks a lot, Jim.
Yeah, we need a GoFundMe page.
That's right. There you go.
So we can all get new phones that sync together.
I think we should go with the watch.
And the iPad, yeah, because it's much more reasonably priced. Yeah. Well, especially if I got the watch with cell service,
exactly.
Then it should function independently. That's, it shouldn't require anything.
Sometimes they have packages where they give you the pad.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's good to know. Yeah.
I have a question.
Sure.
5G.
5G.
Now I just read a blurb about a week or two ago that they're beta testing it in some markets, not where I live, but it's not available for phones.
Okay.
Do you know anything about it? Is it going to be a new way to connect to the internet?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know a lot about 5G, but from what I've heard, what we're going to be looking at very shortly are products where you would buy a service from, like, a cable company, but they wouldn't run a cable to your house. They'd hand you a box or even direct you to buy a box that would create a Wi-Fi pocket in your house and gets all its internet service from the equivalent of a cell network.
Virtually become a hotspot.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the equivalent of like a mobile hotspot for your whole house. Yeah, yeah. And it's supposed to be at such ridiculous data rates that it's going to change our entire industry. Because there won't be any reason to dig up roads or put up power poles. Not power poles, but transmission, phone lines. Phone lines. There'll be no reason to bring new phone lines into areas. Because they will be able to saturate an area with Wi-Fi with such high data rates that everything you do will come through one of these hotspots.
I have a question.
We'll be a ways away from that here.
Well, you know, that's how we felt about 4G. Mm-hmm. And Mexico has a way of just flipping a switch on this stuff. Like when they fiber optics, they buried it all over San Carlos before I even got here. I mean, 20 years ago, they had fiber optics buried all over San Carlos.
Now they can't find it.
Well, now what happens is overnight they flip on a leg, and now everyone in that area has fiber optics.
I don't.
We've seen that time and time again where they just turn on a switch for services. They did that with cell. They didn't bother with 2G in certain areas. All of a sudden they had 4G in these areas. So, maybe you have an old cell phone from the States that's supposed to have service down here and it can't because your old cell phone doesn't support 4G. Mm-hmm. It supports 2G and they didn't bother to put a 2G cell in that area, but they put a 4G cell, so now you can get 150 megabit downloads on your smartphone in that area that had no cell service before. So I would say we are not going to have it until, boom, we have it everywhere.
It says 2020.
2020. In the States. 5G.
Okay, now, back to our little discussion last week about that TiVo box.
I was hoping we would go back to that.
Okay, now, I read further. Are you sure we're going to be able to set that up there and get it down here?
From everything I've read, there's no reason for me to think it wouldn't work. But I am going to be one of the first buyers of these devices. This Amazon Fire TV Recast.
Yeah, the new one.
This Recast. In fact, I wanted to ask you guys about this because I've been looking over the HD TV market in the States. I found a list of the saturation of over-the-air HD for free. It shows New York as having the most channels. But Phoenix is very high on this list.
Well, Tucson has about 13. Because Becky, I was...
I can tell you how...
We had an antenna, we got 13 channels.
I can tell you how many channels are, because I found a website that will show you how many channels. I don't think it's quite 13, but because Phoenix was higher than Tucson, Phoenix has 12, and then 12, each one of these broadcasters, because it's digital, has a series of sub-channels. And so when you're done in Phoenix, you have 45 channels. 45 channels for free. And this is a program guide for that, where you can choose to record your shows. What we're talking about is being able to... What would somebody pay for access to NBC, CBS, Fox, PBS, CW, your football games, your baseball games, your news, and... Amazon's doing this. I mean, Amazon is making sure that you're able to get it on your tablet or on your Amazon. I mean, this isn't some hinky deal where you're using some pirate service to come across some app on your TV. This is all above board. So
and what's it called again?
The Recast. The Amazon Fire TV Recast.
Okay.
It's got a set
than the TiVo.
Right. That's my point. Is okay. Now TiVo
but
just recently
talking about the TiVo that we were discussing last week.
Oh, I thought you're last week we were talking about the Recast and maybe you had brought up the TiVo.
We were
comparing and contrasting.
You said something about having it up there at a place and then
no, we're talking about the Recast.
Okay.
With the TiVo was brought up only in a comparison, a product comparison. Like TiVo, this is a TiVo for HD TV. TiVo, you need to have cable or satellite connected to it.
Uh-huh.
You also, up until this product was announced, you had to pay a subscription fee. Once this was announced, TiVo announced its subscription-free plan. More like what's the name of the device? Mike uses it. It streams. Sling. More like a Sling box where there's a set price.
You have to have it set up there, though.
Right, and this would be the same thing.
And you connect it through the internet to get it signal here.
To get it here. And so what I'm curious to discover is how many people would be interested in having access to those channels, that they would buy one of these devices and keep it hosted in Phoenix. So you could have 45 channels come to any device that you have, including your TV set, just like that. You just bring it up through a menu. And then you supplement it with Netflix and... I see Jim shaking his head.
$280.
Yeah,
I still have a place in Phoenix,
and
those 45 channels aren't all that great.
I'm addicted to other things, but not addicted to TV.
Yeah, you use Kodi. That's right.
Okay, but if you use an IPTV, I know you're saying it's not.
I'm saying this would be more reliable than IPTV.
Oh, I think you're wrong because IPTV, like we watched all day Sunday football and we didn't have one drop.
Yeah, I'm going to be one of the first buyers of this device, and I'm going to get it set up in Phoenix. And get the 45 channels from there. And I'm going to be able to tell my Alexa, record NCIS every week.
But you get
and
that.
Then on the TV screen, on the Fire TV screen, it's going to pop up a thumbnail for every one of my recordings that becomes available. And I can stream it from my
why do you have to put it in Phoenix?
So that I can take advantage of all those channels up there.
But you miss things like the History Channel, the National Geographic.
Well, I'm not paying for anything.
That's, I thought you said there was a subscription. Right.
There is no subscription fee. I'm getting the local channels that I would have been happy with if I lived in Phoenix.
No, you wouldn't.
Well, I would because I use Netflix, I use Hulu, I use Pandora. There's no reason for me to get cable. The only thing I'm missing out on is ABC, NBC, Fox, PBS, and local news, and any sports game.
No, in the PBS, we discussed.
And that's...
You can. Ray probably can't, but you can.
Yeah, I'm just DirecTV. So I get PBS, but I don't get...
You pay a monthly fee for a bunch of channels
expensive.
That you don't really
exactly.
want, so you can get a handful of channels you do
want.
It's $10 a month for my DirecTV.
This is, you
is
pay
there,
a flat fee.
Is there going to be a system available where you can say, I want this channel, this one?
Never.
Carte blanche.
Yeah.
Apple's trying to put something like that together right now, but it hasn't happened. But what this is, it's important to keep in mind what this is. This isn't a subscription fee.
Yeah.
This is a device that you buy, you stick it in your market, and you're able to watch TV anywhere on the internet. So if you had a TV in Portland, Oregon, this would be like having a TV in Portland, Oregon. You can just watch it anywhere on the internet. And you can choose to record those shows or watch them live.
Well, all of them will carry advertisements. They won't be
absolutely because it's free TV. It's HD TV.
So now,
what I'm curious in finding out is that if there's any incentive, if there's any reason to have a hosting service in a market like Phoenix or New York, or in where you buy your box. You send it to that service. They set up the antenna. They keep the power going. They keep the internet going. And you get to take advantage of the HD channels in that market. It's your device. There's no subscription fee. What you're paying for is like a monthly fee to have power and internet in the market of your choice.
Okay. So you're interested in this?
I'm interested in seeing if this is a business idea.
So you have two different internet costing, yours here and yours back there.
You don't. What you have is like a subscription fee for the hoster. So you're paying something like $5 a month.
So who is the host?
Well, it would be this this widget business that I'm thinking of.
Yeah, but who is it now?
There is none. This product hasn't even been released yet.
Well, Scott, I think it's a bad idea for a couple of reasons. The biggest reason is the reason we pay for subscriptions is to avoid advertisements. Some of the programs is you watch a three-hour movie and an hour and a half is advertisements. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is it's limited. And
it's very limited.
It's limited, and so and the other thing is there's too much competition.
Mm-hmm. So I think the distinctions here are things like what do you pay for DirecTV monthly, if you don't mind asking?
$60 something.
$60.
$129
a month. Okay.
Oh, it's 40 now, channels. I've got one box and two extra channels.
Is it possible that you or you know people that are a four channel family? Where they're on MSNBC, HBO, and Fox.
Well, see, I don't get HBO. I don't get any of that stuff.
So you're paying $100.
Yes.
Check in the 500s. You get
no, I do not.
Really?
I do not.
I'm paying 40 and I get all of that.
Yeah, but you're down here paying 40.
No.
I'm up there paying $100.
Well, and what you're talking about, Gary, isn't DirecTV. It's the Radiosity that's pirate system of TV channels that streams through the internet. And still 40 I think is a fair number or 60 I can't believe somebody's playing 100.
Well, we've got boxes down here and several up there.
I've only got one box that I bring back and forth.
Yeah. Okay,
that's what I do, and I pay through up there.
And,
so I know people that
I would
get
be very happy with it.
Get cable TV, and all they do is they spend their time on the news channel and the local channels.
That's true.
And what we're talking about is eliminating the $60 a month and replacing it with a $230 device.
Hmm.
And what I'm proposing is not in your house up there where you have to maintain an internet connection to take advantage of it, but a price that you would have somebody else maintain it for you, like a $5 a month instead of a $60
a
month.
So would this new business actually work if I had it here and in Colorado?
It would work. You would, like I'm thinking Phoenix only because they've got a large market of channels,
mm-hmm.
and because they're flat, so it's really easy to get quality digital signals. What I'm saying is this device doesn't go places. It stays in a place. You go places.
With the device.
No. The device stays physically in the place where it's getting the channels. It's going to stay in Phoenix.
The problem.
You go anywhere you want and have access to Phoenix TV.
I have something.
To the device.
You'd have to have internet. Yeah. In order to get
that's what you need
but
is internet.
Somebody hosts my device. It's not at my non-existent Phoenix house.
It's never yet. Yeah, it's not at a place that you. The business would be a place that hosts these devices in a market that has enough channels or relevant channels that people are interested in it.
It has the major. I'm very familiar with the Phoenix market and with. I always stay with someone up there who only has the basic.
Yeah, the basic 40, package.
40, whatever it is.
Yeah. 45 channels they have.
Yeah, well, 45 out of that, there's maybe 30 that are garbage. They're selling something. They're religious.
Right.
Or they're
I can actually give you the whole list. They have two Latin American channels.
But you have no diversity in the news. There's Fox, there's one side, and then the rest of them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's ABC, NBC, and CBS. There's no BBC. Yeah. There's no
You do realize that some of those can be supplemented with apps like ABC, CBS. They have their own news apps.
That won't be your only financial outgo is $5 a month.
Well, no, but right now what it would do is it would eliminate a large portion of that unused cable bill you pay every month or that satellite bill you pay.
Oh, yeah.
I know everybody that has cable or satellite looks at that package of channels and goes, I would pay half the price for a third of these channels.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, if you could narrow it down to the 10 channels that matter to you, you'd take a third of the price. And if we were talking about this kind of device probably wouldn't be interesting. But at the price that cable and satellite costs right now, that's what makes Slingbox prohibitive. Because you have to maintain internet on both sides. You have to maintain a cable or satellite package on that one side for you to take advantage of it somewhere else. It's really expensive.
So how are we going to access that?
Through your Fire TV devices.
I know, but if we have a Fire TV device, are we able to log into that and pick up that hosted Phoenix channel?
It's only if you had internet.
The beauty of this is that you don't need to think about logging in. Or like the Slingbox, you have to go through a process to get connected to the Slingbox. The Fire TV, when you bring up that menu, that home screen that shows you your apps, like your Netflix app or the Radiosity app,
but you have to have a smart TV.
You have to have the Fire TV app. And so it's either.
Do you have to have a smart TV to go with the Fire TV app?
You can buy a Fire TV.
The Fire TV app is available for an Android phone. Yeah. It's available for your iPad. Mm-hmm. It's available on smart TVs. It's available
on your computer.
It's available on your computer.
So you're in Tokyo, you could watch Phoenix News.
That's right.
Yeah. So on this same thing, I was just told yesterday that probably March or April, DirecTV as we know it here is going away. You're going to have an HD box.
Mm-hmm.
And that means that you're going to have an HD dish if that continues to work.
No, I think DirecTV, aren't they moving to all streaming? I thought they were.
Yes, but if you get one of the boxes, I can't remember the number, that goes with you as an RVer, then you'll be able to use that box with a big dish.
Okay.
The big dish again?
So,
not the legality of you taking
the
meter
and distributing all this.
This wouldn't be redistributing a service. This would be hosting your equipment. You are responsible for your service. You've bought this device, you've put it up in the Phoenix market, and you have to maintain, at the very least, your Amazon account, because it comes through Amazon. And I think coming through Amazon, just because Amazon is willing to be the front end of all this, they're going to be backing it up with their infrastructure. Now, you're supposed to be keeping your programming there on their device. But I know the way this technology works, and they could decide at any moment, you're in an area that has lousy internet. We need to get your content as close to you as possible. And they can just automatically flip a switch and stream temporarily the content you're interested to a server that's closer to you physically so that you can have a good experience.
But they're also going to say to themselves, I'm going to sell one box or sell 100 boxes in a given area. And somebody's going to have to think of that.
Yeah, what do you mean?
Well, you're going to distribute it to, let's say, 100 people. But Amazon's not going to like that. They're going to want to sell 100 of these boxes.
I'm sorry, Irving.
Buy your own box.
It's your box. It's associated with your Amazon account.
But
all I'm suggesting is a facility that has electricity, internet, and good HDTV coverage. That's all I'm suggesting. Your box is set up in that facility so that you can take Phoenix channels on the go with you.
The only illegal part about it is receiving it in Mexico.
Well, it's difficult to say whether that's a legality issue.
You would be a host, just like you are in Alaska.
That not everybody in the United States is going to go to your Phoenix address. They're going to want to have this thing you're putting in Phoenix to.
Well, that's
right. Maybe be in New York,
or maybe when I'm in Colorado.
Just making an example.
Yeah. Well, you guys think about it, because I'm trying to come up with whether this is a good... There isn't a lot of money to be made by this idea. It would almost be a public service for the amount of money I've figured out you could make from it. Yeah, in a couple years, maybe. That's right.
As a businessman.
Yeah.
If you're not going to make a lot of money, potentially... I don't think I would go there.
Yeah, I mean, it just doesn't look like you can make a lot of money doing this. I've been working the numbers on it. If people aren't interested in the first place, well, then it's definitely not going to work. But then if people are working...
And if you're marketing...
Okay.
Later today?
Later today
is fine.
Yeah? How about maybe like 12 o'clock?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, I'll see you then.
And your market is limited to just San Carlos.
Well, it wouldn't have to be. But I think it's a good sample of the kind of market that this device is for.
I don't understand. You got Phoenix. What equipment do you have in Phoenix? Just a HDTV antenna and internet?
Yeah. And electricity.
And how many people?
A lot of bandwidth. That's the part that gets really expensive. If you buy in reasonable amounts of bandwidth, then it gets really expensive. But if you buy fiber optic, then it becomes much more reasonable. But then you have to start out with like 300 users to be pushing a profit with it.
I got another right idea and sell that.
Yeah.
Being a double advocate, I got to
see you later. That's
yeah. Well, thank you. I've got a friend in Phoenix that's ready to help me buy one and set it up at his place so I can start testing it. So hopefully within the next month or so, I'll be able to show you guys how it works here at the club.
So you got 300 going out anyway. $299 for that box.
You could sell that service.
I think it's the two. Actually, there's a package.
Oh, all right.
There's a package where you can get a Fire TV and the Fire TV 4K stick with the box with the HD antenna. Right now, it's being sold for $249.
That's the one you had pulled up there.
So it's $249.
I don't understand how. If I've got a box and you got a box, whose account am I logging into to get to that HDTV?
You're logging into your account.
The box is physically located in an office in Phoenix.
But it's loaded up with your account. It's your box. You administer it through your Amazon account. There isn't much ministering to do except there's a program guide.
Is there any bandwidth issues if you have a lot of people on it?
Okay, so the box is limited to providing two streams at a time. So you can watch TV in the living room and the bedroom at the same time. It's got two tuners in it, so you can record two things, or you can watch one thing and record two things, or you can watch two things and record those two things.
So
that's what it is.
I want you to think about something else in San Carlos.
Yeah.
Particularly more. People here are frugal.
Sure. Well, that's the reason for this idea.
Is it seasonal?
But more frugal than the average market.
Like, I'm coming up with a price around $5-6 that might make it worth doing. At $5 or $6 a year for access to the Phoenix channels.
But you're not talking about any money. If a whole town buys it from you, you might make a few bucks.
But he could also sell it in other expat communities. Like,
yeah, absolutely. Anywhere.
That's possible if you want to do that.
Mm-hmm. Puerto Penasco.
But somewhere along the line, maybe tomorrow or today, the technology will change.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
And that's another catch.
Yeah,
I don't like it.
You're not
Well, I've got a good idea for money. I've always had it. Yeah.
I
can tell you, I was in two businesses, one for half a day, 4 hours, and one for one day.
You mean for the 5 gigahertz band as well? No, not without replacing the actual modem, the Wi-Fi router, or Wi-Fi modem.
People
inside your device.
What are those with costs? The advertisements. That's the biggest thing of all.
Whether you can or not depends on your device. And
if you look at the house,
they're typically reasonable. They're typically between like $40 and $80.
The only ones using local TV.
Many times the laptops use a miniature PCI card. And it seems, in my experience, there's two different standards of that. And so you just have to narrow it down. But it's not considered a novice.
Even Netflix is
installation. It's not.
Well,
it depends on the device. Like this, I'd have to pull off the back cover and get under device, probably remove cards to get to it. On the old Dell I have, it's a matter of just opening it. We went from a world where you would open a panel and pull out a card and stick in a new one to everything's integrated on the main board. I know you do, Bob, because you're hanging around. What's your question?
Scott reminds me of a musician.
I have
he's into the
questions.
Music.
Yes. They're simple,
but it's business.
Why have a dual SIM card?
Yeah, and that's you know.
Why? So you can run two different phone services on the same device. So you could have like, for example, you could have a phone service from Mexico and a phone service from Anchorage, Alaska, on the same hardware.
Okay. My second question is,
and he's going into a really bad
market. Yeah. Well, do it, Patty.
No, I forgot.
All right.
Well,
you know what? I'll send Patty in the
Okay. Hey, on that note, we didn't talk about it, but Bill Gates needed Paul Allen, and
yeah,
Paul
exactly,
Allen passed
exactly.
away.
Exactly.
Paul Allen.
But Scott, here's the catch. Here's the bottom line. You're getting this free of charge.
Thank you.
Okay, here's the bottom line. You're in Alaska. You know you can go into a gift shop and pay $5 or $10 for a little bag of shit, right?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay?
Moose
that's
poop.
Marketing.
Yes.
That's
it's true. It's true.
Millions of them a year. Hundreds of thousands a year, for sure.
No, honestly, Eric.
This is marketing.
This is almost more like a social service because there's so little to be made from it.
You're a technician. You're a technician, and this is the way you think. That's all I want you to know.
Okay.
We were talking about the IR controlling.
Oh, right. A piece of cardboard.
Yeah, servo bring down a piece of cardboard.
That's the engineering solution.
There's another thing to think of. I'm usually wrong at least 50% or more of the time throughout my life.
But
so whatever I say.
Well, I happen to agree with you. I have spent many hours looking at this spreadsheet. Looking at electricity costs and internet costs and maintenance costs, and I cannot get the price below $5, and that's just for a little trickle of income coming off of a pretty crazy, and it doesn't scale well until you start getting into really expensive internet.
My wife and I peddle flowers on the corner. On a holiday, we make $3,000 net in a day. That's a business. We used to peddle flowers on the corner. Okay.
Well,
that's a business.
Let me sign off here.
I see we get some.
I'm going to say goodbye, everyone. This has been the San Carlos Computer Club. I am Scott Stimson from International Computer Solutions, and you have been listening to our club, which you can find recordings of and information at sccclub.org. If you're looking for help in San Carlos, I'd appreciate you getting a hold of me, internationalcs.net. You can reach me, scott@internationalcs.net. If you're in San Carlos and looking for a good meal, come to Tequila's. They host us every week on Tuesdays from 9:15 to 10:15. They give us great table service. They have good internet. They got a fiber optic connection in here, so bring your computer. And I get nothing for saying that. I'm just happy to be here. So I guess that's it. Until next week, tech on.
Same bat time.
Okay, now I remember. Okay.
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 See you, James.
Bye. Thank you. Have a great day.
Yeah, we'll see you next week.
Have you ever heard of Reagan email?